20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to this edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks again for joining us today. My name is Dan Connick, and the day is finally here. All of the Zoom hangouts have been set up. All the microphones have been unmuted, and we are ready to get this virtual NFL draft started for finally. Thank God. We are joined today, or I'm joined today by my two partners that have been hanging out with me this past month, talking drafts, getting us ready for this day. The first one is Rob Rieger. Rob, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's like Christmas morning, huh?
Exactly right. It's the best. And our other guy joining us today for our mock draft is Gage Bridgeford. Gage, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I am glad that it's finally here, so all of these mocks that are so wrong, according to NFL executives, we can finally see just how wrong we are.
Yeah, I like that. So it is draft day, of course. We've had a whole month of preparation here on the podcast leading us up to it. We've been breaking down different position groups, taking a look at deep dives on these guys. I know more about some of these guys than I think I need to know at this point. So the only thing left to do is draft the darn thing. And we are going to get us ready for the draft today by going through a 7-round mock draft for the Packers. Just a quick recap before we jump into it. What the Packers are looking at going into the draft today, pick-wise, they've got all of their picks except for the 7th rounder, their own 7th rounder, I should say. So that's 30 in the first round, 62 in the second, 94th in the third, 136 in the fourth, 175 in the fifth, and then in the 6th round, they've got the three picks, 192 from the Raiders that they got out of the Trevor Davis deal, 206 from the Titans that came by way of Reggie Gilbert, and then 209 back-to-back, 209's their own pick, and then in round 7, 236 from the Buffalo Bills and Cleveland Browns for Justin McCray, and then finally 242 in round 7. That was the pick resulting from Ty Montgomery going to Baltimore. So those are the picks in total for the Packers going into today. Before we jump into the draft, guys, is there anything? Is there a hope that you want out of this draft this year? Like, if there's one thing you could hope for that happens, what's the one thing? Rob, if you want to go.
Man, you know, I think the biggest thing for us is we need a playmaking receiver. It's something we've been sorely lacking. And, you know, I've said many times that, you know, literally if we get any of my top 11 ranked receivers, I'd be really happy because it'd be a huge upgrade over what we have. And other than that, you know, I've had this affinity for inside linebackers for about the last 20 years. I've wanted us to draft one. We never do, but that's another want of mine, is to get a good inside linebacker that could roam sideline to sideline. What about you, Gage?
My biggest need, I would love for them to get Justin Jefferson. I don't care if they have to trade up to get him. I think he's great. I would love Jerry Jeudy, but I just think it's too unrealistic to get him. So I think Justin Jefferson is a good Jerry Jeudy light. I think he's my 4th receiver in this class behind the big three that everyone knows about. Or like if Patrick Queen could fall to 30, I'd be a pretty big fan of that as well.
Yep.
Yeah. I think we've reached a consensus on that, because I think inside linebacker and wide receiver, at least early on, those are the positions to address. So what we've got set up today is we're going to be running a mock draft simulation live here on the podcast. And as we get through each pick, we'll figure out what is the pick to make in the simulation that we're doing. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss some of the picks that we've made previously, where we'd like to see the pick go. No trades or anything. We'll do it straight up to keep it pretty simple. But something tells me, guys, that you know, with the amount of picks that the team has and the sort of limited cap space that's coming into this season, that there'll be a little bit of moving around, you know, possibly up to land a bigger blue chip kind of player instead of, you know, it, more I guess, quality, not quantity, if that makes sense. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that Goody, you know, he's already stated in his last presser that, you know, he's going to be looking to move around. The previous two drafts that he's been a part of, believe it or not, people talk a lot about Ted Thompson and him moving down. But, I mean, Gutekunst, he started his first draft at 14, then he moved back to 29, then he moved back up to 18 to pick Jair Alexander. And then last year we had the 30th pick moved up to 21 to get Darnell Savage. So he's – every year he's – drafted for us, he's moved around in that first round. So, you know, I don't know what you think about that, Gage.
I think that he's going to move in the first round. I think that he, I honestly am not convinced they're going to pick at 30. I think they're either going to trade up, or if whoever they want leaves or like gets taken off the board, I think they'll trade out. If they pick at 30, other than trading up and then trading back into the first round, which I extremely doubt, I just don't think they're going to end up picking there. I think that he's going to see someone on the board that he wants. And the roster that they have is has got a lot of depth, and I think it needs more top-end talent than anything. And I think that he's not afraid to go and get those players, whoever they may be.
All right. You guys ready to roll?
All right. Yeah, let's roll, man.
All right, so let's get started. Starting the simulation here.
Now, of course, the top three picks, those are pretty set, right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I mean, it depends, because I've heard some rumblings that Miami was trying to move up to number three. So I guess that takes Okuda out of the mix, but who knows? So, yeah, so we're simulating now. Ruggs just went 21.
Yeah.
To Philadelphia. Yeah, still on the board. 23. CeeDee Lamb goes to 29.
Okay, so here we are. So here we are at pick 30. I think some trade options at this point. I think that 20th pick to Jacksonville, I think, would have been very attractive to Gutekunst with Henry Ruggs on the board. Yeah, and then CeeDee Lamb went just now. So we're taking a pick here. So looking at just the screen right now, what I see is that offensive tackle, Ezra Cleveland's there. Josh Jones is there. Those are two kind of fan favorites. The receivers, I'm looking at Ayuk there. I don't know what you guys like about that. And then if you want to go to defense, at the inside linebacker, both the big guys are gone. And then defensive tackle, I guess, you know, Blacklock is there. Most of the defensive tackles are there. What
there's
do you guys
actually
think?
A pretty good outside linebacker on the board there that you were overlooking.
Here we go. Yeah. Patrick, you're looking at Patrick Queen, huh?
That's exactly where I was looking.
Let's do it. Let's do it. You guys,
I think that's the no-brainer, yeah.
All right, we're unanimous. Patrick Queen's the pick.
All right. I would love that.
Yeah, I saw him sitting on the board, and I was like, does he not see what's going on here?
Well, I you know, I consider him an inside linebacker, so
right.
My bad on that.
No, I do, and so does everyone else except for apparently PFN. Let's see.
All right, so the next pick will be 62. Oh,
we're coming up.
We've seen a lot of that wide receiver talent went.
A lot of wide receivers have gone, but I think there's still some good ones on the board. Mm-hmm. And also, you had looked at like some offensive tackles in round one. But I think that this draft has got – like, they have Bach in place, and I think he's going to get re-upped. They have Wagner there for a year. I think that they can get a developmental guy in this draft, such as, like, Ben Bartsch or Matt Peart. Matt Peart has been my go-to when I've been running mocks to try and get him in the third, just because I think he's a good developmental tackle. He's got a lot of size to him.
Yeah, I do too. And he's a guy that can train for, you know, maybe a year or two under under Wagner and then step in. I think this one probably comes down to, and I don't know what you guys think, but Laviska Shenault and Brandon Ayuk are still on the board here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that those, you know, with taking inside linebacker in the first round, taking a playmaking receiver, I favor Ayuk, but I don't know where you guys sit on that one.
Yeah, if it's between Shenault and Ayuk, I definitely go Ayuk. Shenault, it's just, you wonder how much the injury stuff will haunt him in the pros, you know, and Ayuk, he just seems like if you're looking at a second round wide receiver talent, like that's like the surefire kind of guy for that.
Yeah. What do you think, Gage? Are you on board with Ayuk on this one?
I'm actually going to disagree. I have Chenault graded higher. Chenault is my wide receiver 6. Ayuk, I believe, is wide receiver 8 or 9, I think, for me. Chenault's younger. The one thing that scares me about Chenault is, like, I think that his test at Indianapolis, like his 40, was he was playing through an injury. He was running a bizarrely big shirt, and he's really similar in size. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the measurements between him and then Ezekiel Elliott. They're basically the same size and same weight that they were when they came into the combine. And I saw, I don't know if you guys saw the video that came out. It was either yesterday or to this morning about like his workout. And
I saw it, yeah.
And the guy that did the surgery said that he is in perfect condition. He's back to as good as he was before. That's just how I am. I don't mind Ayuk. I think that when I watched his tape, I believe I watched him in February, right before the combine. I liked what I saw in terms of like his downfield ability and stuff like that. I just like Visca's ability to work anywhere on the field. I think he gives them that versatility that they had with Randall Cobb, but he's a bigger guy and he can take kind of more of, because the issue with Cobb is he wasn't big. He wasn't a big guy. He couldn't deal with a lot of those big hits. And I think Visca could handle that. But if you want to go with Ayuk, I'm not going to debate it.
Yeah, I mean, I have them one spot away from each other with Ayuk, one spot ahead of Chenault. And I think the vote is in. I think is it 2 votes to 1 for Ayuk? Are we going to be okay with that?
I'm okay with Ayuk.
Okay, let's do it. So, okay, it's 2 votes to 1. Sorry, Gage.
That's fine.
So we're I like our start. Patrick Queen, Brandon Ayuk on the Packers.
This is the part in all my mock drafts that I've paid attention to the most.
Yeah, this Dang. Is 3, 4, 5. So I'll definitely be.
You're really wanting Jalen Hurts, aren't you?
I'll talk about it a little bit when we get to our pick, but that's my pie in the sky.
Okay, so one pick away. So here we are. So let's look at our options here. So we took care. Let's take a peek at offensive line. I know you kind of mentioned that. So Matt Burt's still there. So that's a possibility. Let's keep that on the board. Do we want to look at running backs yet, or is that too early? Cam Akers
is a little early, but that's just me.
Okay, Cam Akers on the board. Any tight ends worth? Nah, I don't know. What do you guys think about the tight ends? I don't think a third.
No, not a third. I mean, there. You know, I was finding, you know, decent tight end stuff in like fourth round stuff. I think third round you can go elsewhere.
All right. So safety.
I was looking there. You got Bryce Hall still on the board here. And Bryce Hall entering the year.
Yeah.
And if he finishes the year fully healthy, like he had an ankle injury. If he had like a knee injury or an Achilles injury, it'd be different. But he had an ankle injury that ended his year. Entering the year, he was a consensus top 3 cornerback among everybody in the draft community. He's super sticky in coverage. He gives you a good complimentary cornerback to Jair. A lot of people are kind of down on Kevin King, like at least in terms of draft people. I don't know. Like, I think the Packer community is more in favor of him. But I think that they have a good 1-2 punch there. But if you wanted to just get a third one and just really round out that group, Bryce Hall's a good option.
I think the thing with Bryce Hall is that, you know, we'd be looking to replace that nickel corner. So Tremont Williams doesn't have, you know, too many years left, if any. That's a great point, man. I mean, I think I'm leaning towards a Bryce Hall pick here. What do you think, Daniel?
Yeah, I like Bryce Hall in the third round. You know, in a couple of my other ones, like in one of them, I actually did go tight end in one of them and went Thaddeus Moss, who's one of my I kind of fell in love with him, so I probably can't be trusted in my opinion of Thaddeus Moss. But like I was kind of mentioning before, I think the third round here would not be the worst opportunity to trade up and possibly pick a Jalen Hurts like that. Tell me I'm crazy about this guys in the third round, like trading up to, like, I always like every, like almost all the mock drafts I saw, like he's going into the third round and getting picked up by the Colts or the Raiders in like that 70, 75 range. Like Is trading up to get a guy like that worth it? Does it make sense in the third round? Is it more of a, if he's there, he's there, but we're not going to try and go out of our way? Like, tell me I'm crazy.
I don't know. Do you want to go first, Cage?
I'm not going to call you
that
crazy.
That sounded very loaded.
I'm not going to call you crazy, but I also think that it is a not a waste of a pick, not a waste of trading up to get him, like not a waste of capital, but at the same time, realistically, open question here. How much time do you think Rodgers has left to the point that he can be the starting quarterback that can lead them to a championship?
I'm thinking four years is like that. That's kind of my number, is four more years out of Rodgers. And so in that case, I mean, I would never trade up for him. I mean, that's the thing. You'd be giving up too much capital for it. If he's sitting there at 94, I mean,
I wouldn't even pick him at 94. I wouldn't do it.
I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. he has a lot of accuracy problems. It's the one area that he has trouble hitting guys in stride. He really does. When you really break down his film, a lot of the crossing routes he's throwing behind the receiver. I think he's a winner. He's excellent in tangibles. He's won everywhere he's gone. I just don't know as a pure passer if he can fit in with a Matt LaFleur offense. I'm just not sure.
All right. Well, if I can come here from the crazy house for one second, I will fall in love with guys, and that's like, you know, the cardinal rule number one that you should not be doing when you're drafting is fall in love with prospects, because you'll overreach, you'll spend too much capital, and you'll put yourself in a bad position. The thing with it, what that I see is, you know, I've seen what the seasons look like without Aaron Rodgers playing healthy. I've seen what it's like when he doesn't play at all. I agree. When you asked that, the 4 years was the first thing I thought of. But, you know, that's, again, assuming that he stays completely healthy this entire time. There very well could be an injury that comes in the next 2 years where he's completely done.
That's true. You had a point.
But you know, again, at the same time, like you could literally say that about any position and any quarterback that's playing in the NFL right now.
My argument is the Drew Brees argument. There's a reason that Drew Brees, or like the Saints and the Patriots for that matter, there's a reason neither one of those teams have drafted this. Yes, I understand the Patriots traded two possible successors, but the Saints, they're going all in all the time to try and win with what they have. I think for Green Bay, until now, if you want to say when Rodgers has 2 years left on his deal, you want to seriously start looking at investing a premium pick in his eventual successor, I am all here for it. But as long as Rodgers has, I think that he has at least 3 years left. Four, maybe. I want to see where he's at, because I know a lot of his stuff has been based on his ability to extend plays and whatnot. But I think that he's got at least 3 years left. When he's got 2 years left on his deal, I want to start looking for a successor for now.
Yeah.
I want to maximize the window. I want to get guys on defense that can help stop the run, because that has not been a thing for the last decade. I want to get guys that can maximize his ability to distribute the ball. Like, we're getting Brandon Ayuk for down the field. Bryan Edwards is a guy that I have been low on for a long time, but I've also said that if I can get him in the third round, I am more than happy taking him there. I've just seen too many people taking him in the first. So if they double dip at receiver and get Brandon Ayuk and Bryan Edwards to go with Davante Adams and Alan Lazard, I'm all here for it. But I will not be investing any premium picks, as in days one or two, in a quarterback.
I'm with you, man. So are we good with Bryce Hall as a third round pick?
That works for me.
Are we good? So let's pick him. Let's move on to Bryce Hall. So we're at Patrick Queen, Brandon Ayuk, and Bryce Hall so far in the first three rounds. I hear what you're saying about Edwards. I think that he'll be gone before the 92nd pick. I really do. I mean, I know.
I was just going based on this.
Right.
I think that, like, when I've watched him, because I have a couple of friends, like, I have one specific friend who he tells me, like, once a week, go back and watch his film. Go back and watch it. He's good.
He's smooth.
I watched his film three times. I didn't watch anybody else three times. I watched his film three times because both times I came back from him, I came in really low compared to everyone else that I was talking to. And they're like, he's good, man. And so I went and I watched, and I'm just, I don't see it. I don't see it in comparison to the rest of this class because this class is super stacked.
It's so stacked.
There's so many good wide receivers.
So here we are at pick 136, guys. So I think that let's at least take a peek at running back at this point. Let's see, because, I mean, at some point we're going to need to possibly look at replacing Aaron Jones. His contract's going to be up, and he's on a rookie deal right now. I really like that Antonio Gibson. He's the guy that pops out at me. I don't know what you guys think about him specifically.
I think Antonio Gibson's a guy that's got a lot of athleticism, and I like that he's got a lot of versatility. Obviously, the whole debate for the ever since the combine was, is he a wide receiver? Is he a running back? What position is he going to play? So I think that LaFleur would be able to get the most out of him in comparison to some of the other less experimental coordinators in the league. So I don't mind him here. I also, at the same time, have we taken a defensive lineman yet? No.
Not yet.
So here we are. So here's the defensive ends, which are mostly – you know, looking at these guys, 4-3, more suited for a 4-3. So I think we should start looking. So here we are. Windsor out of Penn State. Daniels out of Nebraska. Davis out of Nebraska. I'm not real excited about these guys, to be honest with you guys.
I'm with you. I'm not super excited either, no. A lot of the guys I would look for at this spot are kind of off the board at this point.
So let's I don't know, the guy that keeps popping, I'm telling you, Antonio Gibson, he's available at 4. He can be a nice toy in LaFleur's offense. 4.39 40. He was a game breaker last year for Memphis.
Yeah.
15 touchdowns.
I like what Gage kind of said. Like I like what he could do in this kind of offense. And you know, Rob, like you and I, we broke down the running back class last week, and you know, we talked a good deal about him. Like he'd be fun to throw into that offense, but I don't know if he like if the idea in this draft is to draft a quote unquote heir apparent to a possible vacancy left by Aaron Jones.
Yeah,
I don't know if Gibson is that, but I would still be like pretty okay with him. And actually, I'm glad you brought up the tackles here.
Yeah.
Like in one of my mocks, like I had Colton McKivitz going here in this round. I personally,
out of that, so I would have Sadiq Charles as rated ahead of all the guys that are remaining.
Mm-hmm.
The tackle out of LSU, the left tackle.
I was also going to pose, Sadiq Charles was also my top tackle out of this group, but I was going to pose LaMichael Perine, who I feel has not gotten nearly enough love by a lot of people in the draft community. I think he's a good size player. He's 5'11". He's got good size to him. I think he underwhelmed at Florida, but I think that's just because, again, there are so many good running backs that came out this year and were supposed to come out between Chuba Hubbard and Travis Etienne that I think he kind of fell on. And he's a senior too, which kind of is going to push some people off. But he's got good athleticism to him, and someone on Twitter did a thread earlier today for him that I thought gave him a little bit of love. But I think I would like to go with that tackle here. Sadiq Charles would be my personal thing, but that's
– Yeah, that's actually what I was – you know, actually when I went back and looked at some of the other guys, you know, the guy that first popped out at me was Gibson. But I like Charles a lot. I think he's a talent. And if we can get him in the fourth round, I think that we shouldn't hesitate. I mean, that's where my vote is to Charles. I switched it up.
That works for me. Yeah, okay, let's I like it. That a lot.
All right, Sadiq Charles. So we're good.
So two offense, two defense so far.
James Morgan off the board kind of sucks. He'd be
He'd
be a guy I'd be okay with taking, maybe late round four or like round five type guy. Obviously he's from Green Bay, which gets him some gets him some extra love, but I think he's got a good arm.
I'm going to give you my quarterback, my sleeper quarterback. I probably won't want to touch him until round six, but but Nate Stanley's a guy that I think that was – I thought that he was a solid performer 2 years ago. He fell a little bit last year, but I really like his accuracy. I really do.
I'm going to push back on Nate Stanley just because – also, the fact that Jonah Jackson just went in the fifth is pretty astounding. I've seen him pretty consistently in the second or – maybe or late or early third in most mocks, but I'm going to push back on Nate Stanley just because I don't see it. If I'm going to take a developmental guy, like Anthony Gordon would be my developmental guy at this point. I like it, him or, yeah, I was going to say Cole McDonald, but I don't want Cole McDonald yet. I like Anthony Gordon. He's got decent arm strength. He can win off script, which I think is a big thing with quarterbacks. Like, yes, he can win on script and on schedule as well. But he also doesn't fall apart when he's pushed outside the pocket. He's got the arm to make a lot of throws. He doesn't have elite zip on the ball, but I think he's got better. I think he's got better power than you're going to get out of a guy like Nate Stanley, for example, or Steven Montez. I have Steven Montez and Nate Stanley as pretty much the same guy. They have decent accuracy. They don't have amazing athleticism. And Stanley had 4 years in school and didn't really ever do anything super talented.
Well, I wasn't thinking about him here. I actually have Gordon rated ahead of him. I was thinking like maybe like 6th, 7th round, because we have 3 6th round picks. If we wanted to just throw it out on the quarterback, that would be the guy that maybe I'd be looking at down the road. Let's take a look at this pick. So we're at 175. At some point we have to hit a running back, and Pirine's there, man.
I like Pirine here.
Okay.
If he's on the board at this point, I'm okay with taking him at this point. We took Sidney Charles. Let's see, what is there?
I actually here in one of mine that I did, I took Murchison or is that how you say his last name?
Yeah, Murchison from NC State.
From NC State at this point. Just because I feel like if you don't address – like there's a pretty big drop-off in like the defensive line talent, I feel like, from those first kind of top-tier talent and then down here. So this would be a time I wouldn't be upset with like grabbing a guy like this. If you're not going to address it big, then I like it here.
Oh, man. I mean, this is a tough choice for me. I'm afraid I probably have to go against you on this, Daniel, because I think that we need a running back. And if Pirine's there this late at 175,
I agree.
I think that's the move. And even if we do have to sacrifice a little bit on defensive line.
Wait, hold on.
Up.
How do we
feel about Proshy there?
That's exactly where I was going. How do we feel about double dip in a wide receiver? Because if we want a slot guy in this draft, that's your best bet right there. It's like outside of like the top guys, and then Devin Duvernay, James Proshy. I don't know how you say his name. That's the guy. Okay, Proshy. Yeah, that's the one right there.
Let's
if you want to double dip though, if you don't want to because you still have faith in MVS or EQ, that's fine. I just wanted to bring it up.
Man, I like him a lot. I'm going to vote for Pirine here.
That's fine.
What do you think, Daniel? What are you on?
Well, I was completely on the running back train until Gage brought up the wide receiver group again. Because, you know, I think if you go into this draft, you can have two mindsets with the running back position. Either you're going to plan on addressing it like and saying we're going to try and find a guy that could fit this mold moving forward, or we're just going to completely not address it and, you know, roll the dice moving forward with that position group.
I'm not sure if Pirine is the type of guy though that would step in and be an actual like featured back. He wouldn't be one of those dynamic feature backs, so we could wait until next year. I mean, next year's running backs, I mean, I know it's difficult to look ahead because we're so focused on this draft, but I mean, there's going to be some studs that come out next year from the running back.
You were talking all about them last week, man. Yeah. That group that's coming out next year.
So, all right, you guys turned me. I'm going to Proshy. Proshy is the pick, man. We're going to go with a slot receiver to go along with Ayuk, and just deal with it. You know, go with those four receiver sets, and have them work underneath.
And then P. Ryan just went there to the Broncos.
Yeah.
Poor Royce Freeman.
he's getting all right, so we're at 192 here. Let's see where we got here.
Yeah.
So that might be a spot. Okay. Let's keep him up. Let's take a look at defensive tackle.
Khalil Davis is a name
still there, yeah.
He played really well at the Senior Bowl. He was a name that he was at the Shrine Bowl. I don't even know if he was at the Senior Bowl. But
it was not.
Yeah, he played really well at the Shrine Bowl from the tape that I saw from him there. And I think he could slot in next to Kenny Clark and Dean Lowry.
So that's kind of that's actually pretty good. So I mean, I guess it comes down to, you know, are we gonna go all in a quarterback at Gordon? But I don't. He's not gonna really help us. You know, when you look at running back, I mean, I guess the guy from Illinois State's kind of a sleeper pick. You know, it's a lot of people like Robinson. Tight end, are we going to look there yet? I don't see anything I like there.
I'm not concerned about tight end, especially after Jared Pinkney turned in the terrible year that he had. I'm not concerned about I'm not interested in any of the tight ends.
I heard a stat today on the radio on 97.3 The Game that I guess the Packers have drafted a defensive lineman in every draft since 1985. So,
Khalil Davis, welcome to the squad.
Who are we to go against
right.
Ron Wolf? And I think that even goes, predates Ron Wolf. Well, Ron, it predates all these guys. So Khalil Davis, welcome to Green Bay. So you're going to slot in as our – hopefully maybe beat out
Well, you also got Kingsley Keke in still from last year. So I think that
– That's true.
Competition is a good thing.
You know what the sleeper pick is that we just did yesterday that kind of flew under the radar, but we picked up Gerald Willis from Miami, who is not – I thought when he was a junior that he had a lot of splash plays for the Canes, but he didn't get drafted. He got cut, and we just picked him up the other day. I'm not giving it too much credence, but, I mean, it's something. So here we are, 208 and 209. We have back-to-back picks.
Back-to-back.
So let's take a look at what we have. So let's look at our offensive guys. I'm kind of eyeing up Throckmorton from Oregon as an interior lineman. He's the guy that I'm. It's never bad to get Damian Lewis too right here at guard. It's never.
I'm kind of surprised to see Damian Lewis still on the board here.
Yeah, so that's kind of, you know, I'm looking at there. Running backs, there's not really anything there. Where are we sitting at quarterback? Well, let's take care of one of them right off the bat. So I think we can probably, are we okay with taking Lewis?
I'm surprised to still see him on the board here. So
I'd love, I mocked him here in one of mine that I did the other day. I'd love him here at 208. Okay,
so we're good. All right, now. I wouldn't mind maybe taking a backup safety. We could use some.
I was thinking that too.
You know, they have Metellus as a top guy. I think I might like Blackman more out of Utah. He's more of a free safety type. Tanner Muse out of Clemson's another guy that I put on my sleeper list. He's one of my top 10 sleepers.
I think he's been slept on a fair bit. I think he's better than this ranking gives him credit for. And I wouldn't mind having him as a rotational safety.
Just a backup for depth. You know, if something happens, I mean, he's not going to beat out Amos. He's not going to beat out Savage, but you know, if something were to happen to one of those guys, he could come in. He's a smart guy, a 3-year starter at Clemson, national champion. And you know, I don't know. I'm good with that pick. I don't know what you guys think.
I like that.
Are we down with Moose?
Works for me.
All right, let's do it. Plus, he had like a 9.9 RAS or something like that. He blew away the combine.
I will say he just went off the board. I liked if it didn't get addressed, you know, if we didn't double dip already in the wide receiver, I liked Tyree Cleveland there in that 208-209 range too.
He would have been another guy. Yeah, but we have the two receivers. So here we are, last round, seventh round, guys. I kind of like her. I think we might be cut out for this. Maybe we should. maybe we should get the call from Goots to help him out. So here we are, last round.
All right. So we take Cole McDonald. He's still on the board, right?
So where are we at quarterback? Let's do it. I'll defer to you over, even though if I was in charge, I'd pick Nate Stanley, but I'm a team player.
The reason I like Cole over Stanley at this point, so I'm a big fantasy guy, obviously. That's my background. I've played fantasy for about 11 years now. At the end of the draft, you're throwing darts. And yeah. You don't throw darts at high floors. You throw darts at highest ceilings. And Cole McDonald's a high-ceiling guy. He's got the arm talent to make any throw. I wish he hadn't cut his dreads off.
He looked kind of goofy, man.
His main issue is just with accuracy, and I think that playing behind a guy or sitting behind a guy like Rodgers, yes, he's a seventh-round pick, so there's no guarantee he even makes it through like camp, but he can push anybody else that they bring in during camp because his arm talent is there, and that's not something that everybody has, especially if I look at the board here. You have Lewerke, Shea Patterson, who –
No,
you tried, bud. You tried. And then you have Nate Stanley, who was a quality player. I think he's like the discount Jake Fromm of this class.
That's not bad.
And then you have Kevin Davidson, who I didn't see any of his film, and I only watched him at the combine. And what I noticed at the combine, he didn't have great arm strength.
Yeah, he was one of those guys. I mean, I took a look at one of his games. I could only find one. And, you know, I don't like his arm path. He holds the ball low. He'd need to take a lot of work. The thing with McDonald's, he's fun. And actually, if he had a good quarterback coach to kind of fix those mechanics, he has kind of a quirky delivery and, you know, a little strange and could potentially – I'm down with Cole. Let's get that backup quarterback here. Have him push Boyle.
Boom.
So here All we
right.
are. We got
Best
McDonald.
Pick of the draft right there.
All
right.
So let me ask you guys, when you're looking at mock drafts and stuff like this, because you guys are the pros on this, you know, when you're looking at the last pick of the draft here down at 242, I mean, there's only like 15 picks left. Like, is there any like real strategy that goes into this part, or like are we just kind of like what you said, Gage? We're throwing darts and we're trying to find just like the gem of whatever's left, not so much like position specific, but we're just looking to find a baller.
I think you're looking for athletes at this time. You want a guy that could potentially help out on special teams. You have a guy that maybe has a high RAS score, ran a fast 40, you know, something like that, that, you know, maybe they can make the team as a gunner on special teams and come in and outwork people.
Speaking of athletic gunners, is Javelin still on the board here? Javelin Guidry from Utah. If he's on the board, that's one of the best athletes you're going to find in this class.
He was fast.
Dude, that guy, he's got some wheels. I'm pretty sure both of his parents were track stars.
We're doing it. That's a great call, man. Great.
Worst case scenario, he's a gunner. So that's like, if you're ever doing a mock for anyone listening, for you guys, I try and find athletes. And he's one of the best athletes in this class. He's just he can run for days. He's not great in coverage. He's not like anything outstanding there, but he's going to he's just going to outrun most of the people on the field with him.
And Jonathan Garvin is Mr. Irrelevant. Jonathan Garvin is our so here's our recap. I don't know if you want to take it, Daniel. Can you see?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, right. we'll take it. So at 30, we took Patrick Queen out of LSU. 62, that second round, we went Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State. 94, it was the cornerback Bryce Hall. We went Shadeek Charles with 136, the tackle out of LSU. We double dipped on that wide receiver position and went James. Say that last name again for me.
Prochet.
James Prochet, the wide receiver at SMU. Went defensive line 192 with Khalil Davis from Nebraska. Damian Lewis, the guard at 208 from LSU. And then Tanner Muse from Clemson, the safety at 209. And then our last two. We went 236, the Cole McDonald, the quarterback from Hawaii, and 242, Javelin Guidry from Utah, the safety. So overall, guys, what do we make out of this? I would be super pleased with this happening tomorrow night.
I agree. I mean, you know, it might be a little rich to think Bryce Hall, but he has some injury concerns. I mean, that would be the one that I think would be a stretch. Ayuk, I've seen all over the board. I mean, there's some people saying first round. There's some people saying end of second. You know, Patrick Queen could be 30. I mean, he's being mocked usually in the high 20s, like mid to high 20s. And, you know, I think that we have depth. We took the positions that that we needed, and we got some depth there, and we also have some big high upside guys. So what do you think, Gage?
I love Patrick Queen getting to 30. I don't think he's getting there. I just don't. And I'm also, at the same time, I'm not convinced that Goot and Green Bay are going to draft him if he's there, because they hate inside linebacker. They don't value the position at all. The only one that I would nitpick is just going to be LaVisca Chenault over Brandon Ayuk, but that's just – I think Visca's got a higher ceiling. That's just how I have him graded. But I also don't mind Ayuk. I think they're both outstanding players. Ayuk's got a really cool story. He was a JUCO guy before he went to ASU, and then he broke out in a big way after N'Keal Harry left. He smoked everybody that tried to cover him last year. He had great dominator stats. His only issue, his breakout age is a little late, but. I love getting Bryce Hall in the third. Like you said, that might not be 100% possible. Just depends on how cornerback run goes. But other than that, I love the draft that we put together. I like that we have – I like adding competition to the wide receiver room to really push MBS and push EQ now that he's back and healthy. I'm interested to see what happens with Lazard this year. I think that he showed enough last year that he should still be – a guy that gets to play, but at the same time, if they invest a premium pick in a wide receiver, he's really going to have to work. And if they invest in a big bodied guy like IU kind of is, that could push him down the depth chart some.
Yeah. But I think, you know, I think that we've all identified that as being a position that, you know, we really need some game breakers and some guys that can, and if you watch, you know, the Super Bowl, you watch San Francisco with Deebo Samuel. I mean, these guys were adding some guys that could take it to the house. And that's the one thing that I liked about Ayuk is that he'd take a slant and he'd take that thing to the house. And the one thing that I really like, this is a skill that you don't see out of a lot of receivers, is the fact that he doesn't slow down when he catches. If you take a look at a lot of his crossing routes, he's running full speed as he's catching the ball, and that allows him to get past the defense.
Yeah. So, guys, that's our 7-round mock draft. I mean, that should be the last one before we draft this darn thing. So, real quick, guys, before we sign off and everything, over under the amount of times that we have a technical issue in the first round tomorrow night. I honestly think that there's got to be at least one with Dave Gettleman. And I'll put the over on at least one more of those. So I'm looking at like three technical issues tomorrow night. I don't trust these people with computers.
it's funny. I don't know what you think, Gage. I mean, I think that, you know, if they're smart, they'll have like one of their kids or something help them out with the technology.
Well, and you saw what Bob Quinn said, right? Bob Quinn's got his guy in a Winnebago in his front yard. I don't understand how it's so hard. I don't get it. I don't get why the NFL can't do something that's really – it's not difficult. It's not a problem. What you do is you go ahead and you have one – you have like Goodell streaming the draft. You have somebody call in on like a secure number. They call in. Boom, here's our pick, and it's done. You don't – I don't understand why there's such an issue. They're going to do pauses if there's trades. Are you kidding me? The draft end at 3 a.m. Good thing I don't work on Friday, so I can stay up and watch the whole
thing. I mean, think of us. We all play fantasy football, and almost all of our drafts are done online, you know, and where we pick guys and, you know, and you move forward and do those things. And, you know, that's how almost all my drafts are. I mean, I think only one of my drafts I'm actually live, you know, with the people.
Yeah, so. And our drafts are so much longer because it's what is it? I mean, on average, it's probably like 15 if you're doing like a redraft, 15 to 16 players. Right. So it's a 16 round draft, and most of us are getting that done in an hour and a half, two hours tops. And the NFL draft somehow lasts 3 days.
I honestly think it'll be okay. I think there's a lot of laughter and a lot of joking about Gettleman and stuff like that, but I think that it's going to work out.
His setup is outstanding. Yeah. His setup, one computer, three binders, the lotion and hand sanitizer on the other side of the desk. My favorite part is everyone comparing him to Tom Telesco. It's like, What is Tom Telesco hasn't, like, because he's got six monitors. Tom Telesco hasn't won anything yet. Dave Gettleman's at least one, been on that, been like an executive for two Super Bowl wins. So don't knock Gettleman. Yes, he makes some questionable decisions, says questionable things, but he's identified good talent. I mean, minus taking Daniel Jones at six last year.
my favorite was the shot of Bill Belichick set up, and it was the big surveillance thing from The Dark Knight. he's looking in on everybody's things. That's my favorite.
Nice.
But it's finally here, guys. So enjoy it. It's our one sports thing to look forward to for a while. So let's live it up. Enjoy it. I know that Cheesehead TV, they're doing a lot of cool stuff with this. I'm sure there's going to be tons of stuff all around. So, guys, as we get ready for tomorrow night or for tonight and the rest of the weekend, where can people find you for draft stuff on Twitter and everywhere else?
I'm on NFL Draft, at NFL Draft Reagues. I'm also on the radio, 97.3 The Game, the Drew and KB show. They have me on almost every day, just kind of commenting about the draft. So that's where you can find me. And I might stop in at the Cheesehead TV tomorrow night. We'll see.
I'm on Twitter, at GBridgefordNFL. I'm not doing any draft articles this year, at least not beforehand or immediate reaction stuff. I'll be doing some stuff afterwards but most of the time you can just find me. I'll probably be live tweeting the draft and giving my reaction to every pick, both Green Bay as well as just the rest of the draft. And then I think I'll probably have some Dynasty Nerds and Roto Baller stuff coming out immediately, probably Friday, if I'd have to guess.
Awesome. Cool. And I'm on there. I will not have as any in-depth opinions as these two will, but you can follow me still at DK all the way on Twitter. Follow us on the Packaday podcast account as well, at Packaday podcast. Like we said, guys, enjoy this while we can. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've been looking forward to it a while, and it's finally here. So enjoy it, guys. Until tomorrow, we'll have more breakdowns of round one and look to round two. But until then, guys, go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.